Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the His Word, His Way broadcast, where the Word of God is the final authority. His Word, His Way's mission is to provide a biblical worldview to man's spiritual, social, psychological, and physiological problems using the Word of God as the standard for faith and practice. If you're tired of hearing watered-down preaching by impotent and watered-down preachers and are searching for biblical truth, then look no further. His Word, His Way is the ministry you've been looking for. So, for the next 2 hours, have your Bibles open and your minds ready to think His Word, His Way. Enjoy the broadcast.
To the His Word, His Way broadcast, where the Word of God is the final authority. I am your host for tonight, Pastor Seiko Woods, and tonight is Thursday, January the 24th, 2013. This is Real Talk Thursday, where we deal with real issues, but from a biblical perspective. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for joining us here tonight. We have a great show, great broadcast lined up for you in store tonight. I'm glad that you are here. You could be anywhere else, but we're glad that you're here. Spending 2 hours with us, maybe an hour, give or take. But nonetheless, thank you for spending your time with us. We appreciate that, and we are definitely delighted that you're joining us. Of course, I could not do this by myself. You guys know the brother. You know the man behind the board, the man of the master plan, the man of the man of the man. My brother Alfonso, the analysis himself. What's going on, bro?
Short dog in the house.
Wow, why are we shutting off, man? What's up?
What's up, man? What's going on, man?
Man, I just had one of them days at work, so I'm worn out, bro. So I have to get some extra energy here.
Bro, I understand that. We normally be chopping it up during the weekend, so I say, okay, this dude must not be feel like talking, or he got attitude with me, or he probably working. So I'm put the best spin on it. You know, the Bible tells us whatever's true and whatever's right, whatever good report. Think on those things. So I was thinking positive that you had no attitude with me. Not that I would care, but you know, nonetheless.
Wow. Well, you have interviews and luncheons and dinners with everybody, Mr. Big Time. You know, so you don't have to talk to nobody.
Well. I mean, your business is your business. My business is my business. So let's just stick to the show tonight. We'll talk about that later. What I do in my time is my business. That's the top right now. People want to be a meddler. Let's not meddle in people's business.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Been a busy week. Been a busy week nonetheless. But I thank God for it. Hey, man, look, when we're busy, we stay out of trouble. You know what I'm saying? When we're busy doing the Father's business and being about the kingdom and being productive at work, then we don't have to worry about being somewhere we ain't going to be being. So thank God for productivity. Yeah. Thank God that He has kept us productive. Yeah, you know,
when you get tired, you can't sense.
So can anybody say, man, I saw a father come out the hotel. No, you ain't seen him come out the hotel.
Yeah.
And if you did, you probably had your with it. That's a doggone show, but he's too tired of getting in trouble.
I didn't want to drive home today, bro. I didn't want to drive home today. That's how tired I was. I wish I had a chauffeur. I ain't got time to try to mess with my buddy.
look, bro, you so tired. You about had one of them panhandlers under the bridge, man. Take you on late, man. Just drive me off the house, man. You sure, man? It's a nice car.
Yeah, exactly.
Drive me off the house, man. I'm just too tired. But no, man, that's good, man. That's good. I'm glad that you're having a good week so far. It's blessed to be employed. We know, man, we could be just like others, man, but God has been gracious to us, blessing us with jobs, means of income, and so we're definitely grateful for God supplying our needs through the means of work. But again, this is Real Talk Thursday. We thank those of you who are in the chat room. Welcome all of our guests. Welcome those of you on the phone lines. Thank you for joining us tonight. We're definitely glad to have you here. Our first-time guests and visitors, thank you. Thank you for coming out. Hope this will not be your last time joining us on tonight. But again, we have a great show lined up for you tonight. We have Dr. Michael Brown in the building. He's joining us tonight, going to talk about a couple of issues, a couple of things that are dear to his heart, and we're definitely blessed to have him here. But we're going to cover a few announcements, then we're going to pray, and we get right into the show for tonight. First, we want to let people know, if you have not seen the WAR video, that is Word of Faith and Reformed Theology, Word of Faith and Reformed Theology video that is on YouTube right now with myself and Pastor Fred Price Jr., you can go to YouTube and just type in the search engine, Word of Faith and Reformed Theology. It's an hour and a half video. We had a face-to-face conversation, unscripted, kind of like a barbershop conversation. You know, finally, people have been asking me and saying, well, you know, I wish it was more structured. Well, the whole purpose of this particular video the first time, man, we just wanted to have it off the dome. You know, at how we, you know, we at somebody's house, and we just talking, chopping it up. We don't have a script. Whatever's on our heart, on our mind, we deal with those issues, and we just go for it. That's what we did in the first video. So the second video, I can't please everybody, but it is what it is. But War Part 2, hopefully, though, will be coming out soon. But on YouTube, you can go to youtube.com and just type in Word of Faith and Reformed Theology, and you can check that out. And if you, leave a comment or whatever, good, bad, or ugly, we had a few, bad comments, but nonetheless, I can't, focus and worry about that. I know what God has called me to do, and it was a very productive conversation, something that I believe was unprecedented, and I pray that God would allow more of these opportunities to happen in the body of Christ among those of us who may differ in areas of doctrine. So, again, Word of Faith and Reformed Theology. Also, if you are if you're liking our broadcast or just been blessed by what we've been doing here in our church. On the radio ministry here, and you would like to donate to our ministry, we would definitely appreciate that. You can go to www.hiswordhisway.org and just click the donate button on the upper right-hand corner of the screen. Give whatever the Lord lays on your heart to give. We appreciate your gifts. We appreciate your financial contributions to help us to maintain and for us to build for God's glory and for God's kingdom. Again, www.hiswordhisway.org. And the donate button is on the upper right-hand corner of the screen. Also, ladies, those of you who are in the chat room, those of you who are on the call, you can go also, if you would like to listen to sound teaching or biblical teaching, our women's and men's Bible study, we're in the process of having that back on the air, but we would like to hear from you. We would like to hear from you. If you would like to hear sound biblical teaching, then please let us know. You can email us at saikowoods@yahoo.com, S-A-I-K-O, Woods with an S, @yahoo.com. We want to hear from you. We started it off, I believe, early last year, right, Fonzie, with the women and men's ministry. And based on the response, we didn't want to keep something going if it was not going to be beneficial or productive to the body at large. So we know people's schedules and things of that nature, commitments on Saturdays are kind of crazy or whatnot, but it's only once a month. But if you would like to do that, if you would like to hear sound biblical teaching from the men and women's ministry here, my wife has a women's Bible study that she has once a month for the women. Actually, they're going to be meeting this Saturday on the 26th at noon. Here in Sugar Land, Texas. If you're in the Sugar Land, Fort Bend, Stafford area, or just in the Houston area, and if you would like to be a part of the women's ministry here, women's Bible study, we would love to have you come out. Again, just contact us. Just go to the His Word His Way website and pull up the contact information there, and let us know about the about your desire to be a part of the women's Bible study. Again, for those who are asking about the war video or Word of Faith video, again, it's on YouTube, www.youtube.com, and just type in Word of Faith and Reformed Theology. Word of Faith and Reformed Theology. That's the information there for the war video. All right. Also, our brother Darrell Kendrick as well, Minister Brother Darrell Kendrick, Minister Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, that's what he called himself. Brother Darrell Kendrick will be on the air at 7 p.m. on Saturday, 7 p.m. Saturday on His Word Is Way broadcast. You can check out his information there. We'll be posting that information up on our website and also on Facebook. But you can just contact him at MinisterBigKen65, and he can post that information up in the chat room if you'd like to do that as well. And also, our church, if you are in the Houston area again, Fort Bend, Sugar Land, Richmond, give or take, whatnot, and you're looking for a biblical church, sound church, where the Word of God is faithfully taught, we're not the only church that is doing it, but we are one of them that are, by God's grace, faithfully doing that. We would love to have you come out. Our services start at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time here in the in Houston, but our live broadcast starts at noon Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, and you can listen in at your leisure, at your convenience as well. Tuesday night Bible study with my brother Alfonso Neal, 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, here on the His Word Is Way broadcast on blogtalkradio.com. You can check him out and hear sound biblical teaching as well. And, of course, tonight, Real Talk Thursday. We air every Thursday night, by God's grace, at 7:30 Central Standard Time. So that is what we do. Hopefully you have enough information, and if not, we'll try to keep you abreast. If you'd like to follow our ministry or like to subscribe to our ministry, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and just hit the subscribe button as well on the screen. All right, Brother Alfonso, let's pray. If you could lead us in prayer. Oh, could you give a disclaimer too, brother? Could you give a disclaimer? We don't want nobody to get it twisted what we're here to do. Give the disclaimer, and then we'll pray.
The disclaimer is simply this, that our radio broadcast, or any radio broadcast for that matter, is not to supplement the church. It is not to take away from the church. We definitely encourage and command people to join a church if you are able. Not that we command it, but the Word of God commands. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, you know, these are not men's words, but these are of the Lord. So we say that because the Bible commands it, that we are to be a part of a fellowship, and a fellowship of the saints, be a part of the body of Christ. And when we don't do that, that is definitely a violation of God's word. So if you're able to get into a sound biblical church, notice I said sound biblical church, you need to make sure that you're making every effort to do that. Just as hard as you look for a job, you should be looking for a church home, because that is what feeds our spiritual needs. So we want to make sure that people don't get it twisted, that we think, well, we could just listen to radio ministries and not go to church. That is not what we teach nor condone on this broadcast. We definitely encourage people to listen to other ministries and radio broadcasts throughout the week to help us get through and to continue to feed our soul, but we should be meeting together with a church. I'm going to make that disclaimer.
Amen. We'll leave it in prayer, brother.
I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Father God, Lord, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you that you brought us together to worship you, Lord, through this broadcast, Lord God. We know that we're not physically in one another's presence, Lord, but we still are coming together, Lord, to give you praise and worship through this broadcast, Lord. We pray that tonight is no different. We thank you, Lord, that you've gotten us all home safely, Lord God, and those who are still traveling, that you'll please be with them and protect and guide them, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'll forgive us of any sin that we've committed in our thoughts, our action, Lord, Lord, that is not pleasing to you, Lord God. We pray that you will continue to allow your spirit to convict us, Lord, so that we can make right what we've done to you, Lord God. When we offend your law, when we offend your nature, Lord God, by allowing our flesh to take over, Lord, we pray that you will not allow pride to creep up in our hearts, Lord, that we will humbly submit ourselves to your word, Lord, and repent when we sin, Lord God. We know, Lord, we fall in many ways, Lord God, but one of the biggest mistakes that we can make, one of the biggest sins and dangers is for us to fall and not get up, Lord, for us to fall and stay in our sin because of pride. Lord, I pray that pride does not take root in anybody's heart on this phone, Lord God, or anyone listening in the archive. But we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, Lord God, who gave us eternal life. Lord, let us praise him forevermore, Lord God. Let us show our gratitude and thanksgiving for how we worship him through our lifestyle. We pray, Lord, for the guest tonight, that you will fill his heart with the Spirit of God, Lord God, that he will say only what the Word has to say, Lord God, and that he will give wisdom, Lord God, to the topic of tonight, Lord. We just pray that you continue to bless Dr. Brown through his ministry, Lord God, and give him strength and wisdom, Lord, in areas that he needs it, Lord God, and that you will continue to be a blessing through him, Lord God, and many others who are preaching your words. So we just pray for our guest tonight that your spirit will be with him on this call. We thank you, we praise you, we love you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going ahead and give the number out, and we'll hopefully have time for our guest to answer some questions. He has been gracious to stay with us for an hour, And so he'll be leaving us in about 45 minutes at 8:30 our time, 9:30 his time. But we want to give this brother the opportunity to share what's on his heart and also to come on the broadcast and to bless us with what God has laid on his heart and how we could be challenged to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For some of you who may not be familiar with him, all of us have and been blessed by his ministry, but I just want to give you a little bit of background of our guest tonight. Dr. Michael Brown, he holds a PhD in Near Eastern Languages and Literatures from New York University and is the author of 20 books and numerous scholarly articles. He has spoken throughout the United States and in 25 nations and has appeared on numerous radio and TV programs. He hosts a daily, nationally syndicated talk radio program, The Line of Fire, that's on 100.7 here in Houston, KKHT, and has served as a visiting or adjunct professor at 7 seminaries. He spent 5 years researching the material for the book that we're going to be talking about tonight, A Queer Thing Has Happened to America. And he is also focused on particular on primary resources from GLBT authors, leaders, and thinkers. He is also the president of Fire School of Ministry and director of the Coalition of Conscience. And we are delighted to have him here. And so without any further ado, please welcome our special guest for tonight, Dr. Michael Brown. Welcome, brother, to the show.
Hey, man. Hey. Great to be with you tonight. Thanks.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Dr. Brown, we want to just jump right in. I have been blessed by your ministry. First of all, let me just say that to you. You have definitely blessed me, and even in the personal conversation that we have had via Facebook, I have just been blessed by your desire to know God more and your expression of love to the Lord. Man, it's just been a blessing to know that, you know, I'm not by myself when I like to worship and praise God. And I think, Dr. Brown, you like playing the drums. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. I got saved at 16 years old. I was a rock drummer, and music and drugs were the controlling things in my life. So, of course, I died to all the flesh and the sin associated with it. But to play drums for the Lord, just to enjoy it, I don't get to play enough, but I absolutely love playing, especially with a good worship team.
Amen. Well, Doc, when we get our facility and we get some drums, I'm going to bump Brother Alfonso, who's my co-host on the show. I'm going to bump him out the way, man, to get you first dibs on the skins, brother.
Hey, man,
oh, wow.
Anything can happen.
Wow.
You never know.
It's been a few years since I played, Dr. Brown, so you probably definitely got the rest of me. I hadn't played drums in years, but I'm like you. I love the drums. That's my first love right there as far as instruments. So I hear you on that.
Yeah, there's something about it. I mean, there's something about just banging and, of course, you got to deal with sensitivity, but you know, drummers are often a little bit different breed, you know.
Yeah,
they are.
Well, Dr. Brown, you kind of like alluded to being saved at the age of 16. Could you give those of us who are listening and our audience tonight just a brief testimony of how God saved you, if you could?
Yeah, I'm born and raised in a Jewish home, but we weren't religious, so I was bar mitzvahed when I was 13, but it was not a deeply spiritual event for me. It was more of a social event. And I started playing drums when I was 8. Beatles came to the United States when I was 9. I'm 57 now. So I was caught up right in the middle of the whole counterculture revolution 60s. And playing drums got me interested in rock music. When I was 13, I saw my first rock concert, Jimi Hendrix, performing in New York City. And, man, I just wanted to be like the rock musicians and the rock stars. And I just got really caught up with heavy drugs, I mean, shooting heroin, using LSD and speed and all that, heavy drug use, and then playing music and going to rock concerts. And my two best friends that I played in a band with were raised in nominal Christian homes. In other words, they were Christian in name only, but they were absolutely not believers in any way. They were friendly with two girls, and these two girls had an uncle who was a pastor and a dad who was saved, and they were praying for these girls for years. And little by little, the girls started to attend church services. There's a little Italian Pentecostal church, and you know, they teach about prophecy and things like that. And the girls found it a little bit interesting, but the bigger thing was God was just drawing them. So because my friends wanted to spend time with the girls, they would go to the church services. And they think, wow, this is cool, you know, this prophecy teaching and Book of Revelation and talking about miracles and things. So they just started to go, but then little by little, God started working on them. And when I saw the changes that were coming in their lives, it was very negative to me because we wanted to be this great band and play together and all this. So I finally went, August of 71, 16 years old, I went to a service to pull them out. In other words, I'll go there and then I'll show you how stupid this whole thing is. But the people there were so loving towards me that I thought, well, you know, they have their religion. They can do what they want. I'll do what I want. And what I didn't know was that these people, and they're mainly older, you know, 40, 50, 60 years old, they started praying for me. I had no clue this was going on, but the Holy Spirit began to convict me. I was a perfect example of what John Bunyan spoke of, that first we practice sin, then we defend it, then we boast about it. I was boasting about my sin. I was proud of it. And now, alone in my room at night, instead of being proud of my sin like I used to be, I felt miserable because I stole money from my father. I grieved my parents. I lied to my friends. And I started feeling convicted. God started working on me. And I went back to a service in November of 71. And for the first time, I found myself believing that Jesus really died for me and rose from the dead. But I was not willing to turn from my sin. So I had a battle for 5 weeks. I'd go to church one day, I'd shoot heroin the next, back and forth, until December 17th of 71, just in one of these services, whether I was born again in those weeks leading up to it, or this was the night of surrender, God knows. But I do know for sure that that's the night I crossed a certain line. And I was singing these, you know, we sang these little old church hymns, you know, when we all get to heaven, make me a blessing, softly and tenderly. You know, here I'm going from Led Zeppelin one day to softly and tenderly the next, and dazed and confused and purple haze to make me a blessing, you know.
Yeah.
But the joy in singing these little songs in this little church with maybe 40, 50 people and a piano player was so flooded me and so overwhelmed me that I realized this is different. This is different than a drug high. This is different than a friendship high. This is different than a sports high. This is different. And I realized this must be what they call the joy of the Lord. And I got this insight of how deeply God loved me. And I just, in my mind's eye, I saw this picture that I had been filthy from head to toe, and covered with mud, and God washed me clean, and I was wearing this beautiful white robe, and I was going back out and playing in the mud. And I said, that's it. I'll never put a needle in my arm again. And I never went back from that day on. By God's grace, I was free from that moment on. And just in the weeks that followed, my head got clear. The drug influence left, you know, because my mom was just foggy from all the stuff I was doing. And I just began to pursue God earnestly. And, you know, the one other thing I'll mention is that after a few months of being saved, I said to myself, I could lead a clean but empty life, or I could give myself to God the way I gave myself to drugs and rock music. And that's really led me to just spend hours and hours alone with the Lord every day, reading the Word, praying, always sharing the gospel with someone new. And that laid the foundation of passion, hunger for God, desire for God that by His grace has helped strengthen me now, 41 years later.
My goodness, brother, you're definitely blessed. We got Dr. Michael Brown in the building tonight with us. We're talking about just basically what's been on his heart, and just want to talk about also the book of Queer Thing has happened to America, and we definitely are blessed and delighted to have him here. See, the phone line started being lit up. We're going to just hold tight, guys, hold tight. We're going to get to you just as soon as we can. Just want to ask the doctor a few more questions. Doc, let me ask you another question before we talk about your book a little bit. You were saved, you said, at 16. At what age were you saved again?
Yeah, 16 years old, and I'm 57 now, so 41 years ago.
41 years ago. And what name were you saved in, the name of Jesus or Yeshua?
The name of Jesus. I didn't know who Yeshua was.
Oh.
you got to understand, I mean, just growing up in a Jewish household, the name Yeshua would have no meaning to us. In other words, that's something that Christians have learned over the years, that Jesus' Hebrew name was Yeshua. But most Jews don't, like, if you talk to them about Yeshua, they have no idea who you're talking about. You know, they know the name Jesus. They know him as Jesus. So that's the only name I heard of. If you talk to them about Yeshua, honestly, I had never heard the name at that point.
Really?
Never.
And you're Jewish. You're Jewish?
Yeah, yeah. So I would have heard the name Joshua, you know, Moses, Joshua. I would have known those names, but Yeshua. No, your average Jew on the street in America probably doesn't, you know, there's more publicity to it and so on. But your average Jew on the street, if you ask them who Yeshua is, they don't know the name.
So Dr. Brown, I'm pretty sure you're aware that there is this slow movement of people, even some Christians, that are saying that we need to call Jesus by his proper name, and that's Yeshua. What would you say to that?
Well, I say a few things. Number one, it's positive to recognize that he was a rabbi, not a reverend, that he was Jewish, that we don't Christianize the New Testament in terms of trying to read later church history and European Christianity into the New Testament. We need to recognize that Jesus came as a Jewish teacher, that he was born and raised under the law, that he went to synagogue, there was no such thing as church, and that he didn't convert people to Christianity. So to the extent that it helps people to recognize Jewish roots, foundations, that's wonderful. But when the New Testament was written, it was written in Greek. There may have been certain documents or writings where things were passed down in Hebrew or Aramaic, but the fact is the New Testament, as God preserved it for us, was written in Greek, which means from day one, instead of calling him Yeshua, his Hebrew name, he would have been called Jesus, which eventually gets its way into English as Jesus. So from day one, what God was saying was the important thing is that you can relate to him in your language and your culture. And if you can relate to him better as Yeshua, wonderful. If you're from Italy and he's Jesu to you, or you're, you know, Hispanic and he's Jesus, or however you can relate to that name in your language, that's the best way to do it, because that's how God gave it from the start, saying let's get to the maximum number of people in a way that's understandable to them. And look, let's understand this too. The pronunciation of the name is not what brings the power. What brings the power is understanding who he is, whose people
are
the name.
Yes, sir.
So it's not like some mystical thing that demons will leave if we say Yeshua. I have many, many of my friends, Messianic Jewish believers, and they relate to Jesus as Yeshua, and it's precious to them, and it helps even bring healing in their own lives, because often the church has been hostile to Jewish people and driven Jews away from Jesus. And it's wonderful for them, and it helps them in their teaching and in their outreach, and so be it. In other words, let each find their way. But the idea that you have to use them, supposed to use them, the Hebrew name is better, is just nonsense, and the Greek New Testament refutes that right out of the gate.
And would you also say that that causes unnecessary divisions and schisms and factions in the body of Christ when we kind of like harp on these issues here?
Any time we major on a minor, absolutely, it creates side issues. It, in fact, takes us away from what really matters, which is knowing Jesus and making him known. So whatever the particular side issue is, look, let's say some believers really felt women should wear a veil, you know, 1 Corinthians 11, when they come together, and that they're not going to judge the rest of the church over that. It's like that is just a peripheral issue. And whatever we do, let's work it out, Romans 14, do it with faith before God, do it with a clear conscience, but just don't put it on someone else. A pastor in Denver that I spent some time with last year, Pastor Gino Geraci, he says legalism is when my opinion becomes your obligation.
Come on, Doc. Could you say that again, please? Could you say that again, please, sir?
Yeah, Pastor Gino Geraci, so he gets the credit for it. Legalism is when my opinion becomes your obligation.
God, I got this on tape. I'm glad I got this on tape. We got Dr. Michael Brown in the building. Real Talk Thursday. Y'all heard it live. You're hearing it live right now.
I got a question, Doctor.
Go ahead, Fonzie. Go ahead.
The quick question for you, Dr. Brown. When you're talking about, you know, different, you know, ways people or different names that people have for Christ, I've definitely never saw it that way. This definitely opened my eyes. But would you? It reminds me of 1 Corinthians 9:22. Would that be the appropriate scripture to kind of couple understand that when Paul's talking about, you know, to the weak I became weak, that I may be weak, I become all things to all men, so that I may be all mean, save someone. Is that
let's think of this. He said to the Jew, I became a Jew. But hang on, he was Jewish. What he what he meant was that he would do things he didn't have to do. In other words, there were certain Jewish traditions that were practiced that were not from God, but that were revered and to this day are revered by the Jewish people. And if in order to win them, he needed to take on those additional traditions, he would do it knowing that he was free from them. When he went to the Gentiles and things were very different, he said he was still under the law of Christ, but he would do things that he wouldn't have normally done. Perhaps, you know, sit down and eat pork with them, because that was what they were serving and that was the only way to reach them. So what we need to do is do our best not to put a stumbling block before anyone. That's what Paul counseled. And those who are strong in their faith, rather than pushing others to do things that they're not sure about, should do the opposite. They should say, hey, we're just going to meet you where you are. So when I talk about relating to Jesus in your own language, I don't mean, you know, that we just make up whatever name we want. But in English, Jesus, in you know, as I say, in Italian, it's Jesu. In Spanish, it's Jesus, and so on. So I know someone was in a Messianic Jewish congregation, and it was very important for her, she had shared this with me, to say Jesus, because that's how she got to know him. And it would just be like if your wife had to call you by a different name to relate to you, that's not who you are to her. And leaders came and said to her, no, you need to call him Yeshua. And she said, but he's not Yeshua to me. Now, I know others that once they called him Yeshua, it was very freeing and liberating for them. So let people work it out on the teaching level. Again, sometimes I'll refer to him as Yeshua, even in a general teaching, to remind people of Jewishness or Jewish roots. But it's for that purpose. And there have been seasons when I've related to him, and speaking of him as Yeshua has been very dear to me, but for the most part of my life in the Lord, I've related to him as Jesus. But it's so massively secondary, because it's who he is, not the pronunciation of the name.
Yes, amen, amen. Again, we have Dr. Michael Brown with us tonight. He has been blessing us so far. We want to go ahead and ask you a question about your book, Dr. Brown. You wrote a book, and I'm just going to ask you, Dr. Brown, I know you said it, but, you know, this is time of confession. The Bible says confess your faults one to another. Doc, I'm holding your book, A Queer Thing Happened to America.
Uh-huh.
And if you guys have not seen the book cover, it is something to see. There's a dude with hairy legs, black socks, and fuzzy slippers on the cover. Now, Doc, you said that this is not you. Now, if it's you, among the many, many people who will be listening to this broadcast, you can keep your secret safe with us. Is these your legs, Dr. Brown?
No, those aren't my legs. Those aren't my slippers. In fact, the graphics company that did the cover for us. And look, there's controversy over the cover that actually I didn't mean to cause that controversy. It was just kind of a playful thing. But we the graphics company just paid for that image. In fact, we had to pay to use that image. But they design a lot of different covers for us. Some with graphics, some just with text. And then what we did is the ones that we liked or that got our attention, you know, one picture is worth 1,000 words, we then showed them to different groups of people. I sent some of our guys over to a giant mall across the street from our offices, and we said, look, if you didn't know anything about the book, anything about the author, and you walked into a bookstore, which of these covers would cause you to want to pick up that book and maybe get it? I asked seminary students I was teaching. We asked students in our school of ministry, and just all the people in our business office, mainly Christian, but just all these different people.
Right.
And every time, overwhelmingly, people said that's the one I would get. So, it's you know, the book itself is controversial enough.
Yes,
the title
is.
A Queer Thing Happened to America. Basically, the word queer has become mainstream. I would never use it in a derogatory way. But right. for years, it's been mainstream, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, queer study programs in yeah. colleges and all that stuff. So I used it to illustrate that point, but it caused so much controversy that no major publisher would touch it. And what they all said was the title has to change. And the more I heard that, the better I felt. It's like, okay, we're on to something here. If there's this hypersensitivity,
right.
when the world is embracing this and using the word freely, and now we're going to use it, and people are like, oh, can't use it. It's like something's funny there. And
that's right.
And then the cover just added a bit more controversy. So I don't know whose legs, whose slippers, but it is quite an attention-getting cover for sure.
So you categorically deny that these are your legs, Dr.
Categorically deny it. Hey, look, man, I was working out today as I do Tuesdays and Thursdays with some of the guys in the office. So I'm wearing my gym shorts, and anybody can come in and take a look, and my legs are not as hairy as that guy's legs.
All right. Well, I'm going to take you for your word for it. I'll take you for your word for it. I won't do all that. Go ahead, Ron. Go ahead. Sure. Go ahead, man.
I just wanted to ask the question that, you know, being where, you know, America is with the whole embracement of, you know, homosexuality and, you know, President Obama embracing it as well, what kind of – I'm sure you've gotten a lot of flack from the gay community by just the title alone. I mean, you know, because your name being so big and everything and people knowing who you are, you know, you already know when America, you know, sees something, especially when it goes against what, you know, this country is trying to push, is going to cause problems. So, I mean, has there been a lot of bashing, if you will, from the gay community and just a lot of people based on just the title alone, saying that you're wrong, you're unlucky, you know, all the stuff that they say when we point out clear sin? Has there been a lot of, you know, well, that's wrong, you're wrong on this, that's wrong. I mean, you know, God loves gay people and all that stuff.
Yeah, there's been a tremendous amount of flack. I mean, I knew it would be coming. I knew this was the most controversial issue you could touch. I did it out of obedience to the Lord and out of a sense of calling from the Lord. I got a very clear word from God, reach out and resist, meaning reach out to the people with compassion and resist the activist agenda with courage. So, yeah, I mean, I wrote an article that kind of went viral online this week, which was my response to the president's inaugural speech in terms of what he said about homosexuality and embracing various aspects of gay activism. And this was quite a landmark event for him to do it during his inaugural speech. And immediately I started getting blasted on one gay activist website and all these others chiming in and, you know, article about me. And, you know, that happens all the time. And that's fine. I would hardly call that persecution. You know, no one's thrown me in a jail cell and tortured me or anything like that. And and I understand from their perspective. In other words, from their perspective, I'm this horrific human being that doesn't recognize their full humanity, you know, their right to marry whom they choose. And they think I just want them to suffer. And so I've wept over these things because I felt the pain of the rejection that they've lived with. Even though I never experienced it myself, you know, being heterosexual, and you know, I can't relate fully in that way, but I've read enough of their stories that have just moved me to tears and beat up at school and called sissies or whatever. And then those of them that are going to church, they're thinking all the time, God hates me, I'm condemned to hell, what's the matter with me? So I understand when they get upset with me. When they get upset with me for doing the right thing, when they revile me and attack me because I speak the truth, then I really rejoice in the Lord that encourages me. But it gives me greater compassion for them. And it's a fine line to walk, guys, because on the one hand, I want to reach out to each individual, gay or straight, and make clear to them that Jesus died for their sins. One of my friends pointed out Jesus did not shed different blood for homosexuals or heterosexuals or hang on the cross longer for a homosexual. That we all fall short, we're all damnably guilty before God, and we're in desperate need of his mercy. So, you know, 100%, I want to share that with every person I meet and apologize to the homosexual community for the hypocrisy of the church. You know, we tell them what they're doing is wrong, and yet we have, you know, no-fault divorce and pornography addiction and scandals with our pastors and leaders.
Yes.
And So I want to reach out with compassion. At the same time, I understand there's an activist agenda, a gay activist agenda in America with massive straight allies, including the president. And it is the principal threat to religious freedom and freedom of speech and freedom of conscience. There's absolutely no question about it. And if we don't stand up for what's right, our kids and our grandkids are going to grow up in a world which is almost unrecognizable in so many ways. And we'll have to apologize to them. And they can rightly say, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, what were you doing when all this was being changed? How come you weren't standing up and doing what was right? So we have to do it. I've been blessed by the tremendous responses to A Queer Thing Happened to America, the flack, the ridicule, the mocking, the vilifying. I fully expect it, and it just causes me to love the people attacking me all the more and pray for God's grace to penetrate their hearts and bring them to repentance.
Dr. Brown, you've had negative responses. Have you had positive responses from those who have been delivered out of the LGBT movement?
Yeah, I always hear from folks that came out of homosexuality. Some of them have been transformed and now have heterosexual desires. Some of them simply are living holy lives and saying no to the temptations and desires. But many have come up to me and said, thank you for not backing down. They often feel so lonely in the church. They often feel that people don't understand their struggles. Come on, you know, Pastor Seiko, someone can come to you and say, hey, we're having marital problems, we need counseling. Or a man in the church can come and say, brother, man, I'm struggling with pornography, I got this internet issue, can you help me? But for someone to come forward and say, I'm attracted to the same sex, I struggle in these areas, or I feel like I'm a woman trapped in a man's body, it's often very difficult. And they also know, those that have come out of it, that there's a lot of pain as well. And that, especially with the men, there's a lot of promiscuity, and there is a lot of real lostness and bondage. So they're so glad to be free. I've had folks come up to me, former homosexuals, just with big smiles on their in their face, and saying, you know, God delivered me 7 years ago, and I just appreciate you taking a stand. But what ministers to them the most is that they see my heart. And I have to say, I've sat with gay activists, gay authors, editors, others, sat and talked to them face to face, sometimes in tears. And they've said, listen, we see your heart. We think you're crazy and you're wrong, but we see your heart. We understand you don't hate us.
Wow. So you basically have had stories from people who have been delivered. So it's not as if what you're doing, you're just, you know, swinging in the air. You're not reaching anybody. I guess even if you weren't, it does not minimize the fact that God called you to do this. Because I mean, Dr. Brown, you basically swung at the hornet's nest. You swung at the hornet's nest.
I took this on, I understood that I was one small player on a big team. In other words, I knew there had been people, pro-family people, that had been on the front lines of this for many, many years before God called me to get engaged. At the same time, when he spoke to me, turned back the tide of homosexual activism, I felt as if I was the only person in the world. You know how it is. You know that none of us are anybody. We're all just small little people. And yet you feel the weight and the responsibility falling right on your own shoulders, and you take that then with to the Lord so that he can be your strength. But when I started from day one, when God began to burden me about this 8-9 years ago, I knew in the natural it was over. It was a lost cause. In other words, when gay activists are saying, look, you guys have lost the battle, just admit it. It's like, no. I knew that years ago. I knew that things were too far gone in America, that the younger generation was too influenced by media and peers, that that too much had infiltrated the culture, and the church had been too wishy-washy on this issue, that it was already a lost cause. In other words, I didn't come into this thinking, okay, the patient is sick but can get better. I came into it saying, the patient's dead. God has to resurrect.
Amen.
So my posture has been one of faith, brothers, from the very first moment. My posture has been, I am trusting God to do the impossible, and I still have to be a witness. In other words, if if my job, if your job, if the job of our listeners is just to be faithful witnesses, and then that'll encourage others to stand, or when the next generation looks back, they say, hey, they stood, they did what was right, it can encourage. And I don't want it to be that when people look back at us, I mean, this is the great moral, spiritual question facing the body today. I don't want them to look back at us the way we look back at Christians during the days of slavery and say, what were you doing? What were you thinking to not get involved? To say it wasn't your business or it wasn't your battle. So we have to stand, and ultimately the victory is the Lord's, and ultimately God will turn the tides either in our generation or future generation. But I believe it can even happen in my lifetime, as preposterous as it seems, because we've taken a hit, things are going in the wrong direction, it's inevitable, but I believe God can turn the tide.
And I've heard the testimony, Dr. Brown. I believe it was on Monday when you talked about why you believe the revival can come to our nation.
Sir.
And I was like, come on, Dr. Brown, don't you see what's going on? I mean, really, don't you see the decline of the family? But then I got convicted because I'm like, that's a faith issue right there. We really don't believe that God can, because he's already done it before, as if he can't do it again. And so when I heard the testimony, and if y'all haven't heard it, you need to go to Dr. Brown's podcast, askdrbrown.com, and check out his podcast that he did on Monday regarding why he believes the revival.
Yeah, it's dot org, by the way. Ask Dr. Brown.org.
Thank you.
That's a common mistake.
Thank you. AskDrBrown.org is the website. Dr. Brown, I want to take a couple of calls. We have some people that have been waiting to talk with you, if you don't mind, before you last
few
moments.
With joy. Yeah, if we have a couple more minutes for the callers, I'm happy to do that.
Okay, well, let's take the first one. Call us 702. You call us live. You're on the line with Dr. Brown. You have a comment or question?
I have a comment, and I've been on hold for about 29 minutes now, and I've listened to everything that this guy said. And before even saying hi to the guy, I'm going to tell him I think he's a heretic. I've counted
and
about 13 things.
Hold on, sir, brother, let's start first. What is your name?
Daryl, I called the other day. Remember me from Las Vegas?
Okay, Daryl. Well, let's do this first.
I love this, man.
Okay,
go ahead. Let's find out why. Go for it, buddy.
Yeah. I haven't got started yet. You want it? Okay,
go ahead, Daryl.
First of all, I sure as hell hope that I'm being recorded, because I want to be the voice out there.
Oh, hey, watch
for
language, please.
Daryl, we would like for you to do, if you are a professing Christian, we would like for you to respect the radio broadcast here, because this is a Christian broadcast. And if you're not one, we would still like for you to respect the broadcast.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure if you were standing before. Hold on, let me finish. Daryl, let me finish. I'll definitely let you talk. If you were standing before a judge in a courtroom, I guarantee you would not say anything that would cause you to be in contempt and thrown in jail. So we would hope that you have respect for this broadcast, since we gave you respect on Tuesday, and have respect for our guest, Dr. Brown. Now, if you want to express your disgust or your discontent, we know you can do that respectfully, but go right ahead. We're going to give you 3 minutes to do so.
All right, I will do it, and I apologize for my use of language. I'm listening to everything that he said, and he changes the subject so many times throughout his conversation. First you're talking about homosexuality, then you're talking about Judaism, and then you keep changing the subject on so many things. I could tell you something. I say, first of all, that I am bisexual, and I could say that homosexuality is not a choice. And I could defend that with you for hours and hours on end.
Said it was a choice?
Homosexuality is not a choice.
Who said it was? You were listening for 29 minutes, and we were covering several different subjects. I was asked to come on by Pastor Seiko, share some of my testimony, talk about some Jewish issues, talk about my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. So I gladly did that. You said I was a heretic, which means someone denying the faith of Scripture. And then you said homosexuality is not a choice. So sir, I'm just wondering, who here said that homosexuality was a choice?
Nobody.
Okay, so why is – could you please tell me, because you just said something real serious. Heretic is someone who denies the faith. Heretic is someone who teaches things contrary to Scripture to lead others to damnation. So what have I said, sir, that was heretical? I'm really curious to hear that.
When you're done talking, I'll answer. All right. I tell you quite a few things. Yes. First of all, are you Messianic Jewish? Is that what faith you're claiming?
I'm a Jewish follower of Jesus.
Okay. So are you still waiting for your Messiah to return, or do you deny that he's the Son of God?
What are you talking about? Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and he's returning one day. He's the only Savior, the only Lord, and the only way for a Jewish person to be saved is through faith in Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, I agree with that. So, but you're Messianic or just straight out Jewish?
A Messianic Jew is a Jewish follower of Jesus. That's who I am.
A Jewish follower of Jesus. Okay, and then you say the word
like,
Lord.
Like Paul and like Peter and like John. Yeah. We're all Jewish followers of Jesus.
How can you be a Jewish follower of Jesus? I'm trying to understand that. It's just.
Are you okay, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
You are a male, correct?
No, your mother's a male.
Daryl, you have less than a minute.
I would love to help you, but here's what you need to do, Daryl. Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. God did not say to you, follow your sexual desires, be with a man if you're attracted to a man, or be with a woman if you're attracted to a woman. He said, deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. What you have to do is find identity in Jesus, not in sexuality, or not in saying sometimes I'm attracted to men and sometimes I'm attracted to women. That's not who you are. Those are your desires, those are your romantic attractions and sexual desires. You have to say no to the flesh, no to those desires, and say, I am going to follow Jesus and be his disciple, no matter the cost or the consequence. And that'll be the first day, sir, to your real freedom.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Brown. We're going to take another call. I went ahead and just muted this call because I saw how this was going. Caller 402, your call is live. Thank you for holding. You're on the line with Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, Pastor Seiko and Dr. Brown. Good evening to you.
Good evening.
What's going on, brother? Who am I speaking with?
This is Virgil. How are you doing out in Omaha?
What's up, V? What's happening,
man? What's going on? Hey, listen, great conversation. Dr. Brown, I'm a huge fan of a lot of your work. It's interesting. I was just listening to debates with you, or conversations at least, with you and Dr. James White over Arminianism and Calvinism. So it's great to have heard your voice early this morning and then again this evening. I wanted to mention that I thought you guys did a phenomenal job of just collegiality and brotherhood, and really you kept saying over and over again that you wanted to give honor to God in that, and I can tell you as a Calvinist, listening to both sides was awesome, and it really uplifted an opportunity to study and to have continued dialogue. So I just wanted to say that up front. Appreciate the work.
Yeah, thank you. And you know, let me say that it is from the heart with Dr. White and I, that we really have a mutual esteem and appreciation. And, you know, he's in the trenches. He's debating Muslims and mosques in London. You know, he's debating Mormons and atheists and agnostics and spending the hours of preparation and doing it for the glory of God. And look, I'm not a Calvinist, but I see the many verses that would cause someone to be a Calvinist, and I see some of the great leaders in the body through church history have been Calvinists. And he, of course, recognizes how many fine brothers and sisters, key leaders to the body, have been Arminians and the verses that we can hold to. So, you know, if we can't have a respectful dialogue and honor God and honor one another, then we're really falling short in a significant way. And we're glad we've been able to model that. In fact, in a few weeks, here in Charlotte, Southern Evangelical Seminary is hosting a debate. We'll do our first face-to-face debate on Calvinism on a Thursday night, and then on a Saturday night, we'll be debating, dialoguing with others. I'll be talking with a liberal professor. He'll be talking with a Muslim. So we want to team up as brothers to demonstrate that. But anyway, thanks for the kind words, and back to you.
No doubt, it was great to listen to it and the like. I'll say this and get to my question, Pastor Seiko, real quick, because I know you've probably got other
sure.
folks on the line. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I will tell you, it is so uncomfortable listening to you both dialogue against each other, because I'm such fans of you both. I look at you as the titans of our faith, and I'm like, I don't want to see either person lose in a debate like that. So it's definitely good, and it's helped in conversations that I'm having with others as I talk about the doctrines of grace with them. So it's a big blessing. To my question with regard to the topic of the evening, give us some ideas and background with regard to what we can do as a church. I have a brother, younger brother, who's been involved in homosexuality, homosexual community, and the like. So I'm very comfortable talking about the topic and addressing it with others and dealing with people from the LGBT community. However, I noticed that there's a lot of us in church who are incredibly uncomfortable. My question is twofold. How can we get educated about having effective dialogue with others who are part of that community? That's one piece. So what can we do to arm ourselves from an educational standpoint to know what to say and how to say it? And then two, what can churches do from a standpoint of looking more open without compromise to the LGBT community? How can we do that in a way that doesn't compromise our beliefs but embraces the reality that is? And I'll get off the line and take a listen. Thanks for that.
Well, Virgil, before Dr. Brown answers that question, next time you call my show, don't be looking at my notes of questions that I'm going to be asking Dr. Brown. You and Alfonso, I'm trying to interview the doctor here, and you two guys, all up in my notes, man. All up in Dr. Brown, they all in my notes, man. I'm like, I'm the interviewer. I called you. Okay.
Well, I am IT, so I can look at your computer at any time. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my goodness.
I'm in Omaha, so I can't even. I'm not even that close. So I appreciate it. I'll be listening in. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, Roger.
So,
thank you, brother.
Of course. Yeah, great and very, very important questions. First, let me mention that we have a link with my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. It's called aqueerthing.com. aqueerthing.com. And if you'll click it there and then click on Get Involved, you'll see for each of the chapters of the book, there's what can I do to get involved? How can I make a difference in this area? I'm concerned about what's happening in my schools. I'm concerned about this or that. How can I get involved? And we do have a section on ministering to those who are dealing with homosexual issues or related issues and how to go about that. So that's aqueerthing.com. Click on Get Involved, and then you'll see a table of contents. Just click on that which is of most interest to you. But to give some short answers, first we need to pray that God would give us his heart for those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender. The call that we just got earlier, the level of confusion in it and not understanding and not hearing is so typical that no matter what we think we're saying, it's often misinterpreted, misunderstood because of hurt and spiritual warfare going on. So we need to pray, God, give you your heart for those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. Yeah, it's a choice to act on desires, but no one said to themselves, I think I'm going to have homosexual desires. I mean, that's certainly not the case with 99.9% of the people. This is something they discovered as they were developing and growing, like, wow, I'm not attracted to the opposite sex the way others are, and I'm different. And someone's been very traumatic. So we need to pray for God's heart. We need to always be thinking, as we're preaching and teaching, if we're dealing with social issues, moral issues, if we're taking a stand for righteousness, we need to say to ourselves, there's probably someone sitting here right now, as I'm talking about, say in North Carolina, we had a vote for marriage, to say in our Constitution, marriage is the union of a man and a woman only. That was wonderful that happened. But I went out of my way whenever talking about these things, because now we're talking about something that's going to be very alienating to homosexual men and women, and they're going to perceive this as hatred from us towards them.
Yes.
then I'm always thinking someone out there is struggling with same-sex attraction, or someone is here who is hostile to our position and really wants to find out who we are, or someone is here and their son just came out a week ago, or their daughter just came out a month ago telling their parents, I'm gay or I'm lesbian, and they're struggling. So we always want to cast the net of compassion out. We always want to be doing, again, what boils down to reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion, resist the agenda with courage, and also recognize that some are more called than others to take public political stands and social
right.
stands, and others are more called to minister to individuals, but all of us must do it in a tone that glorifies Jesus. So on the one hand, we don't compromise, but then we don't single this one issue out, or the sinful behaviors associated with it, or the gay activist agenda as the only thing that we're dealing with. And there are a lot of resources that will be helpful. Again, aqueerthing.com, click on Get Involved, and you'll see things that are very relevant. It starts, though, with getting God's heart, and from that, we can minister effectively.
And also, I want to highly recommend Dr. Brown's book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. I commend all 686 pages. And also his DVD series, Homosexuality, the Church and Society, and Can You Be Gay and Christian? Powerful resources. I am loving it. I've been blessed being able to watch them. I'm still watching the Can You Be Gay and Christian. I've been gleaning and learning from that. I want to read this quote, and then I'm going to bring two other callers. And if you don't mind, Dr. Brown, then I'm going to let you go. I know your time
sounds
is very
good. That sounds like a plan. You got it, buddy.
You said this on the video on how to minister to the gay community, and it's kind of tying into what we're talking about tonight. This was a letter from someone who is, I believe, that's in a homosexual relationship. But you probably recall this. He said, "We are your fellow pastors, deacons,
yep.
church musicians, and people in the pew. We write and arrange the songs you sing. We are your studio technicians and members of your staff. We are doctors and scientists, secretaries and clerks. We even write your books. We're not a threat to the American family either. We are committed to the family. Millions of us have raised wonderful families of our own. We have adopted the unwanted and the unloved and proved to be faithful, loving parents by anyone's standards. Most of us gay and lesbian people are just normal folk who try our best to live respectable, productive lives in spite of the hatred and the condemnation heaped upon us," end quote.
Yeah, that was Dr. Mel White. That was his,
yep.
his open letter to Jerry Falwell. I was just with some seminary professors in Hong Kong for a week. We were each teaching classes that we specialized in to Chinese pastors and students from the mainland. And one of the professors said that when he was in California, Dr. Mel White was one of his professors. And he said, he was a pastor. He said, if you wanted to hear the word taught thoroughly and get edified, you went to hear Mel White. And all this time he was struggling with homosexual desires and agonizing over it. And finally, after trying to kill himself again, he concluded, "This is how God made me. God gave me these desires," and he and his wife agreed for divorce, and then he moved in with the guy that he was in love with. And anyway, it was striking to hear about how powerful of a teacher and minister Mel White was, and he was a ghostwriter for Jerry Falwell, all the time battling same-sex attraction. So Mel White said that, and I wanted people to hear it, lest
yeah.
we think that every gay person is like that person at the gay pride event, you know, strutting down the street, you know, wearing almost nothing and gyrating,
right.
you know, and or that every gay man is some predator or he's after your children or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I put that in there that people would feel the weight of it. And I think probably growing up, I didn't know anyone that was gay. Even during the years of the sexual revolution in the 60s in my high school, I can't think of it. My wife and I talked, and we didn't know anyone that was openly gay in our teen years before we were saved. So things have changed quite dramatically. And as I began to hear about, you know, homosexuals, you know, I would think of someone who was like the utter worst pervert in the world, and how
right.
could someone do, you know, be that low? And And, you know, there were certain caricatures. So it's important we remember, yeah, your boss may be a lesbian and she may be a great gal in many ways. And your next door neighbor may be gay. Hey, look, the mayor of Houston, she's got enough votes.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
And I'm sure she'd be a good mayor in certain ways, you know, in many ways. She's, you know, she's an open lesbian. So
right.
Let's move past the caricatures. At the same time, let's understand that there is a disproportionate amount of promiscuity in the gay and bisexual community. I mean, this has been documented time and time again. Just common sense would tell you that
right.
men tend to be more oversexed than women, and if you put men with men, you don't have the tempering effect of the woman in the relationship. It's not a surprise that these things are issues. Also, let's not downplay the fact that many of those who experience same-sex and bisexual attraction have had abuse in their backgrounds. Many haven't, but
right.
a disproportionate number have. In other words, there's something that went wrong in their emotional or sexual development. And let's also understand that gay activists do want to transform the family. They do want to say that two men or two women are no different
yep.
than a mom and a dad. And
right.
they do want to put pressure on those who differ. As I said in my latest article, if folks go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the line of fire, they can read my latest article there. There's always a link to the latest article right there. When the president said what he said, and, you know, it's up to us now to turn the tide, basically, and to make sure that he didn't say these words exactly, that men can marry men and women can marry women. So, in other words, if you don't go along with this, you are going to be looked at like you're a member of the KKK. That you're a racist,
yep.
homophobic bigot. You know, it's all the same. And there is tremendous pressure on freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and freedom of conscience. And gay
yes.
activists really do want to transform the family, although I'm sure at the same time there are many that are loving parents. The bottom line is the greatest mom does not make a good dad. It's just doesn't work that way.
That's right. That's right. And they're very aggressive in their approach in doing so as well. We got a couple of the calls, Dr. Brown. Let me just knock these out for you, and then we'll let you go graciously. Caller 214, thank you for holding. You have a comment or question for what our guest, Dr. Brown?
Yes, sir. Pastor Cinco, Pastor Charlie here in Dallas. How you doing?
What's going on, man? What's your comment or question for Dr. Michael Brown tonight?
Hey, just you guys, you always right on point and always right on target with the show. Just one quick question. As far as the getting, and then I heard you give the website the get involved. One of the things that my wife and I are venturing into to getting into, my sons and daughters 2 years ago had never been in a public school. They've always either been homeschooled or Christian, or in some type of Christian school. And so now they're in public school, and my son was concerned last year about the gay straight club that they have at the school.
Yep.
And he's been approached by a few things, not as far as, you know, just what do you think about it, because a lot of kids know that his dad's a pastor and this, that, and the other. And so just really looking for some insight about how to approach certain things and really move in and be able to minister effectively to some kids that are struggling in that area. And if, you know, and like I said, I just heard you give the website, so I can go and get that information from there. But when you hear the voice of the highest man in the land condoning and pushing the agenda, man, we really as a church have to begin to, as you say, pray for God's heart and begin to turn the tide.
Yeah,
amen.
In fact, just to comment on that last point first, I don't care who the president is. If I differ with their stance, say it was Bill Clinton as president and he had this moral failure and so on, and you know, maybe he'd come out and make some statement afterwards. Well, I didn't take it seriously because I differed with it. You know, if President Bush took a stand on Israel that I was uncomfortable with, it's like, well, he's wrong. Well, the fact is, I sometimes forget the incredible influence that the President of the United States does have. In other words, just because I might say or you might say, well, he's wrong, I differ with him. Well, there are plenty of other people that because he says it, that shifts their view, that influences their view, that enables people that were not vocal to become vocal. So you're absolutely right. His influence is massive. We cannot underestimate that. And in terms of getting involved, how old was your son that mentioned the Gay Straight Alliance in his school?
Yeah, Charlie. How old was your son, Charlie?
He's a sophomore in high school. He's 16.
16, okay. These are now even in middle schools. So if he's being approached by this, remember you got this litmus test now that Jesus said don't judge and you're just supposed to be nice to everybody. You know, a lot of kids think
right.
Christianity means being nice to everybody and not having conflict. Because of that, it's really important that he recognizes, okay, this is where these kids are, and they don't really understand things or get it right a lot. So he's got to start where
right.
they are and say, hey, we should treat everybody the same. That's where he wants to start. I don't care if this kid says he's gay, straight. We should treat everybody the same. We shouldn't bully kids. We shouldn't be mean to other kids. We shouldn't pick on kids. Start
right.
there, you know. But then next thing, say, you know, God really didn't design us to be gay. God really has a better way than that. He designed men to be with women and women to be with men. And, you know, the best thing is for these kids to find God and not get so caught up in their sexuality. So you want to start with affirmation, compassion, and really look for kids who are struggling. I would really encourage your kids that if they see other kids that are getting picked on because they're gay or lesbian, say, hey, come on, why don't you have dinner at my house here? You know, come on over and just be real models of Christ's love while at the same time, without shame, saying, hey, God has a better way. God has a better way. There's a lot of suffering ahead. There's a, you know, massive increase of STDs among gay young men, you know, just tremendously disproportionate. And just to say, hey, God has a better way, and his way is you meet the love of your life and the two of you have kids together and have a family together. That's the way he designed you. That's the way he made you. And the reason the Bible doesn't say a lot about homosexuality is because it says a lot about heterosexuality from beginning to end. It's honor your father and mother, not honor your father
yes.
and father. It's husband love
Come
your
on.
Wives, not husbands love your husbands. You know, it's Christ in the church as the image of the bride and the groom. So the other thing is, if he feels pressure from others that holding to his Christian faith or views or just speaking the truth puts him under pressure, that's where as a dad then you need to go and talk to the administration and say, hey, my kid's getting bullied because he's a Christian. My kid's
right.
getting bullied because he does not embrace homosexuality and to confront that. But it's a very relevant question, and, hey, the church must act. That's the positive to me about the president
That's right.
coming out as much as he has. No more playing games. We pray for Mr. Obama, but
That's right.
we understand where he stands on abortion, on homosexuality.
That's right.
No more playing games. Let's wake up
Amen.
And get to it.
Amen. It'd be fair to say, Dr. Brown, the spiritual gloves are off. We're not
yes,
wrestling
sir.
Against flesh and blood.
Yes,
Amen.
Sir.
Amen. Caller 617. Thank you, Brother Charlie. Caller 617. Your call is live. Thank you for holding. You have a comment or question for Dr. Michael Brown tonight.
Oh, yes, sir. In fact, I even have information for Mr. Brown. Mike, do you have a pencil on you or a pen?
Yeah, go for
yeah,
it.
What is your name?
Oh, Jeff calling from Chelsea, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Mike, have you ever heard of Cleon Skousen?
Cleon Skousen? No, I don't think so.
Cleon Skousen, back in 1963, had a book called The Naked Communist. And this is called The Communist Takeover of America, 45 Declared Goals. And there's 45 goals, congressional record, 1963. Now, 26 of these communist goals is this, and I quote, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Now, this has happened for many decades, Mike, which is the international communist apparatus has infiltrated this country, and through drugs, perversion, homosexuality has softened this country up. There's a book called Red Cocaine by Joseph Douglas Jr., and Betrayed, and the goal is to soften this country down using the Antonio Gramsci method. And when this country is softened down, then the communist powers of Russia and China and their blocs will crush this country and will take over this country. Obama is a Muslim communist being used as an agent to bring this country down. And once that happens, the homosexuals will be killed off. Christians like myself and yourself will be killed off. Jews will be killed off. It'll be a Holocaust. That's what's coming to this country. It's Deuteronomy 28. Mike, you do a lot of good work. I love your program. And Mike, just keep up the good work. But just research that information, which is Cleon Skousen, Joseph Douglas, who interviewed Jan Senja from Czechoslovakia. Read the Soviet and Eastern Bloc defectors who have come to this country, because that's what's coming. We're going to get crushed because we've forsaken God. God bless you and have a good one.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Thank you for your call.
Yeah, you know, I'll just say two things in reply.
Sure.
Obviously, you know, to my ears, the idea that it's, you know, communist or communist conspiracy behind all the stuff happening is, you know, is very outlandish and bizarre. The funny thing is, though, that I've got a book that was also written in the 60s by these guys. I mean, they seem to be as fundamentalist Christians as you could imagine. You know, everything was the devil.
Yeah.
But they're talking about, like, the Beatles coming into America, and it looks so innocent, but behind it is decadence, and it's going to lead to this and this and this and this, and the communists are behind it. And the fact is, what they talked about actually happened. You know, it's like, it seems so crazy and extreme. So at this point, I'm separating the communists from the larger issues. But hey, I always read these sources and see where people are coming from. On the other hand, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, when he gave his commencement speech at Harvard University some years ago, basically said, there's not a future war coming. The West has already lost the war. The West has already lost the war. So this much we do know, and I did jot down those sources as per my nature to always be reading things of interest.
Yeah.
But in point of fact, as you said, Seiko, the spiritual gloves are off. And look, the gospel preached in the American church is a gospel of empowerment. It's a message of how to make me into a bigger and better
man. Come on, Doc.
The gospel of Jesus is take up your cross
Preach.
And follow me. So you die
Preach.
To self, and now you live to do the will of God. And in doing the will of God, you find out what you're really made for. And it's thrilling and wonderful. But we've got to wake up to reality, brothers. I know you understand that. We've got to wake up to reality. We've got to speak the truth in love. As Paul wrote to Timothy, we've got to endure hardship as good soldiers of Messiah Jesus. Walk in love, walk in gentleness and humility to all. But friends, time to get out of the indifference and the just trying to save our lives. Time to stand up and do what's right. I was with Chinese pastors earlier this month. I was with Indian pastors who've been persecuted for their faith last month. This is just reality, and we need to stand up. And if folks want to join me in this revolution, ask drbrown.org. Hey, I got to run, but it's been a real joy, genuinely from the heart, to be with you. I appreciate
you,
what
Dr.
you're doing.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
All
right, you, brother. Yes, we'll be contacting each other soon. Thank you, Doc.
All right, God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you, too. That was Dr. Brown, Dr. Michael Brown, ladies and gentlemen. We thank him for his time and for his diligence in the gospel and being a revolutionary, not violently, but spiritually. We are at war, and all of us should be taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and wielding it at the enemy's targets. And so we thank God for this brother. And again, if you want to know more about Dr. Brown and his ministry, you can go to askdrbrown.org. That's askdrbrown.org. Go there and just have at resources and blogs and things of that nature. If you're in the Houston area, you guys are missing out on the treat. If you're able to listen to his broadcast, The Line of Fire, at 1 o'clock Central Standard Time here on in Houston at KKHT 100.7, he stays on for an hour. And definitely a blessing to listen to him share his heart and to, you know, deal with relevant issues, cultural issues. But again, from a biblical perspective, I mean, that's how we ought to do it. That's how we ought to do it. Christians should deal with issues as Christians should deal with it. You know what I'm saying, Fonzie? You feel me, dude? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Doc, we had the doctor in the building, bruh.
Yeah.
The doctor, man. We had the...
I'm not so glad this is a Christian podcast anymore.
Man,
you
can't
do
it, bro. That's gonna get some. That's gonna get some hits tomorrow. Look, I got Darryl Crip walking now. You know Darryl's from college, though. He doing the Crip walk now. I done took him back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah,
hey
man.
Gave tonight, man. He gave so much.
Yeah.
Advice. Just the way he came at, you know, different situations, even the person that was attacking him, just his spirit, man, and how he handled it, and just the wisdom he shared on some things that helped me, you know, have a whole new outlook on.
Bruh, persecution? What did he say, Fonzie? Brother say about persecution, Doc?
We ain't shedding no blood. Ain't that what the writer of Hebrews said? We have not resisted sin to the point of shedding blood. Isn't that scary?
You know what they helped me realize, man? Like, the few... attacks we've had, from the video on YouTube about, you know, you and our church and just others who have left and slandered us to a few other people that, you know, sometimes, you know, had me angry and upset. That just really opened my eyes to say, you know what, that's nothing, and that's the thing that we should not even be allowing ourselves to get riled up about, because we have to trust that God is with us, man, and that, you know, people like Dr. Brown who get this on him all the time. You know, I know everybody's different, you know, when you're just first starting off getting, you know, attacked and you're not used to it, of course, you know, how you handle it at the beginning may not, you know, you have to grow in that area. But I know tonight, man, really helped me understand more about, you know, this is just the beginning for our ministry, you know, of getting attacked, man. The more that God is using us, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse, man, from the people that...
Exactly. I mean, and that's one of the reasons why, man, we cannot afford to take this. When we deal with sin of any kind, whether within or from without, and it seems like for the most part, bro, our church, our ministry deals with sin more so from within. We're dealing with crazy Christians from within that should know better, but we got to deal with them because it's making those that are outside of the faith make us look bad. So, you know, this comes with the territory, y'all. This comes... wherever or whatever walk of life that you are in as a believer, understand when you're repping Christ, you are going to be persecuted. You're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes with the territory. And Jesus didn't write that down in small, fine print. It is big and clear. Whether you got the King James, you wrote it in red ink, I don't care. But it's big and clear as day that you and I are going to be persecuted. And I'm going to be praying, and we ought to be praying for Dr. Michael Brown, for his ministry, because
mm-hmm.
he is definitely out there. He's putting his feet on the ground, boots on the ground. He's handling business for the kingdom. He's taking the shots. And, you know, I've just been watching how he responds to some of these people because, you know the LGBT community, man, are some aggressive people. I mean, some of them, we just heard it tonight, you know, with Mr. Darryl came on the call. And, you know, he said his words, but at the same time, you know, you can be, you know, you can disagree with it first, but we're not going to allow anybody to be disrespected. And whether you say it or not, there's a sense of respect and decorum that we want to have here. We just believe in that. And so anyone calls this broadcast, calls this show, in three terms, you got to come correct. It's Real Talk Thursday. I'm just saying.
Amen.
You got to come correct. Got to come correct. Mm-hmm. Now, we want to do this before our last few minutes of the broadcast. You know, for those of you who would like to ask Dr. Michael Brown questions that we could not, you know, ask him tonight for the sake of time, you can go to his website, askdrbrown.org, and you can, you know, raise your question with him there, and he'll be, I'm pretty sure he'll be, you know, very kind and gracious to respond. May not be as quick as you want him to, because he's a very busy man, but nonetheless, I'm pretty sure if it's a question of importance and it necessitates a response, then he would definitely do that. He's done it with me. I was messing with Brother Pastor Sean Isaacs, man, earlier this week, actually earlier today. You know, when he saw the announcement about, you know, Dr. Brown being on the show, he said, "Man, I'm just curious of how you have to come on the show. You know, I'm pretty sure that it was you know, it's gonna be a blessed show and gonna be a good, you know, show tonight." I said, "Yeah, man." I said, "Well, you know what? I can tell you, man. If you want me, you know, want me to tell you how I got him to come on the show?" I said, "Bro, it's really deep, Doc. I mean, it's so deep, Doc. I mean, I don't know if you'll be able to take it, but this is deep. I got him on the show." I said, "You want to hear it?" I just asked him. That was it.
Wow.
I just asked him, but that was deep. Woo, that was deep.
But see, that shows, man, that shows those who are in it for the right reason, man. You
come
got
on,
some of
Doc.
These, you know, big-name people. And I'm not saying, you know, not everybody has time. You know, but at
right.
least even how you know, reject certain people to say, "Hey, you know, I really would love to be on the broadcast, but, you know, due to this and that, I can't." But, you know, people like Michael Brown, man, who's a big name out there, you know, and he's, you know, doing a little broadcast that's not going to get much, you know, much player publicity as far as what he's used to. And for him to come on, man, that just shows, you know, that shows the true heart of people, man, when they're trying to get the word out. It's not about fame. It's not about money. And,
that's
you
right.
know, can you imagine trying to get somebody like a, you know, a T.D. Jakes who's not, you know, trying to get on the show, you know, you got to pay him just to come preach at a church. So,
yeah.
You know, it's amazing, man, how God just shows us who is truly doing it for the right reason, man. You know,
yes.
Christ didn't require any money. The disciples didn't require any money. You know, they didn't expect to get, you know, rich off of the gospel. Man, Paul said, you know, he preached the gospel for the sake of those being saved. That's his reward. It's not
come
money.
On, bro. Come on,
so his
bro.
Reward is somebody that whoever is saved who comes to the cross, that is my reward. And that, man, that just shows the attitude of how we all should be, man.
That is, man. But see, you know what? Again, he has opened my eyes to some things, brother. We need to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we need to be reminded, bro. Seriously, we need to be reminded.
Yep.
Because, you know,
yep.
even since this video dropped, you know, look at what has happened. I mean, I told my wife this. I said, now, we've gotten more positive responses through the video that we did, that I did with Fred Price Jr. Part 2 hasn't even been out yet. And, you know, the enemy will want you and I to look at the negative comments. Oh, you should ask this. Should have said this. And why you didn't ask him about his father? Why you didn't say this? And why you didn't say that? You know, all kinds of stuff. You know, want to armchair quarterback things. And you can kind of, like, allow that to distract you from the main focus of what God has called you to do. And one thing that this brother helped me to see is that, Doc, we got to remain focused. We got to remain focused and committed to what God has called us, because what God has called Fonzie to do may not be what he called Seiko to do. But you know what? If it's for God's glory, let that brother ride. Let him ride. Let him do him. Let him do what God has called him to do. Quit trying to tell everybody how to do their ministry. And if we're dealing with sin, let's deal with sin graciously, but let's deal with sin. I'm glad he said that we need to reach out to the LGBT community with compassion. I love that. Because,
mm-hmm.
see,
and
we could be one of those.
Yep.
You follow what I'm saying? We could be one of those.
When he mentioned about when a guy was saying, when you said that it was, you know, that it's not a choice, and he said it is a choice type of thing, it was something that Dr. Brown said that I didn't even realize. I was close to saying, well, it is a choice. Yeah, you made the choice, which is true, but the way he said it, I'm trying to say it the right way. He was saying kind of like, when you say choice, it's not that you were born and all of a sudden say, you know what, I'm going to choose to be gay.
Exactly.
He said that you chose to, you know, fall into those desires. And that's all I was, wow. Because, you know what I mean, you know, I don't always say the right thing the right way. You know, I'm going to say, yeah, you chose to do it. Yeah, you chose to do it. And but that, the way he said it, man, I'm like, wow, I've never heard it that way. It's yeah, you made the choice, but it's not that you woke up and said, I'm going to be gay today. It's more so like you said, man, you chose to go down that sinful path. So I'm like, wow.
Right.
And you already
exactly.
know what around the night was when you said, you know, he said that God said legalism is when,
when you force your opinion to become someone's obligation. I'm like, oh,
there
my goodness,
man.
No,
oh,
bruh, isn't that kind of like what I said about preferences and precepts? I'm done. We got to find a brother's name because I'm definitely not trying to steal the man's quote. But that bro, that's powerful. That is powerful, and that is exactly what legalism is. You want to make your opinion my obligation. What? I'm done. But you know what? It's 9 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock, and you know we're gonna give everybody a treat because see, I don't want to beat the drum. No pun intended, Dr. Brown. Don't want to beat the drum. But if you have not gotten Dr. Brown's DVD set, Can You Be Gay and Christian? I'm telling you guys. I'm telling you. You're missing a treat. Go to his website and get that DVD set. Homosexuality, the Church and Society. Need to get that as well too. And also the book that he has, A Queer Thing Has Happened to America. It's not 686 pages. It's 689 pages. I was off by three. But nonetheless, get the book. Fonzie, any last words, brother, before we let our folk go tonight? I'm kind of hyped now, bro. I'm like Flavor Flav on steroids right now, dude. Seriously, I'm just this amazing.
I would just like to say to all of us listening, man, you know, we need to take what we heard tonight and really try to apply those, you know, just those attitudes, you know. And one thing I would like to close with is, you know, seeing how you handle people that disagree with you, that
Come
is very
on,
key in winning people over to Christ, man. Because I know for me, I'm the last person that you can talk about this because, you know, we joke about it all the time, and then with my wife, my intention, for the most part, is always good. You know, when people disagree, it's just I have not learned always how to do it in the most graceful way or, you know, the right way to where it won't turn people away. And that's definitely something that, you know, I'm trying to grow in every day, and just tonight really helped me. So I would just encourage all of us that when we disagree with one another, or especially when we're trying to win people over to Christ, who they may be belligerent, they may be yelling at you, but that does not mean that we are to stoop down to their level. We have to be, allow the Spirit to contain us and allow us to, you know, still show love to these people, no matter who it is. When I say these people, I'm not just talking about the gay community. I'm talking about anyone who is lost in their sin and they want to get hostile. We have to expect them to do that, y'all. They expect
That's
us to
right.
do what sinners do. We are not to stoop down to their level and get an attitude and want to go at them just because they did that to us. We have to have, you know, the Spirit of Christ in us. And also, within the church, we have to stop this bickering over non-essential issues. Well, everybody wants to, you know, this whole Fred Price video. Why are you asking this question? Why are you asking that question? Are we in third grade? Seriously, are we in third grade? When it comes to the body of Christ, we need to come alongside one another instead of always trying to nitpick and say, well, I would have done it this way, so therefore you're a heretic. I would have done it that way, so now you're a wolf. All these name calling
right.
that we throw out of people, and anybody that knows me and has listened to the show, you know I don't have a problem calling out a name when it's a clear heretic. When I'm not talking about that. And I have no problem calling out a name of somebody who's in sin. But when we're just attacking one another, you know, just because we're not getting what we want, like that quote earlier, when you want to make your opinion an obligation, man, that's what cares about a Christ stuff. And I'll shut up before I keep going.
No, man, I'm glad you said that, though, bro, because here's one thing I think we can also help each other with. Let's just say, for instance, okay, you and I, Fonzie, you and I, well, no, let's even broaden the pot. Me, you, and Dara are loud people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Me and you and Dara are loud people. We're very expressive people when we talk, especially when it comes to truth. We're this loud, okay? Brother Dennis, when he expresses truth, he likes to grab you. I mean, he'll grab you, like,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
Strong is worse than strong. So when Brother Dennis grab you, you know, you feel your arm go to sleep. If you grab by your arm just goes to sleep. It goes like dead. You know, like okay, like I lost blood in my arm. I don't have no feeling in my arm. I feel dizzy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But listen. This is how we are in our personality. But here's the thing. If you want to hang around somebody that's out, to be what God has called you to be is going to cause you to be around some people that are opposite of who you are. In other words, here's what I'm saying. If I'm a loud cat, then I know I can't be loud around every single person. So I'm going to have to be around somebody like my wife that is going to have to say, you know, dear, honey, you know,
she needs to speak up.
Yeah, so exactly. So you see how we balance each other out? But here's what you and I don't do. We don't say, oh, stop being this way. Stop being that way. No, be who God has called you to be, but understand that we cannot be that way all the time around everybody. We need each mm-hmm. other in order to grow into Christ's likeness. And so areas where I need work on, my wife takes the slack, and vice versa. Same with you and your wife. Same with Daryl. Same with Dennis. Same with all of us in the church. We need each other. And the moment that we start to think as if, okay, you know what, I'm just gonna be me. Well, being me got you in trouble because being me ain't always good. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens mm-hmm. another. That's how we ought to do it. So that we just sharpen each other. And so, you know, being a part of this ministry, and we encourage all of you, you know, get connected to somebody in the body. I mean, this is how we make it. I mean, Dr. Brown came in and noticed how he blessed us, but at the same time showed us how to deal with opposition. Now, does it mean that he gets it right all the time? No. It just means that he gave us the example. He's been doing this for a minute. So he's going to probably have more experience than you and I do. So we need to learn from other cats that's been in this thing for a while. And then, you know, before you know it, then other people are going to be following us, saying, man, how did you do this? Because we're following other people, like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So, you know, again, I'm blessed, man. I'm just blessed. I thank God for what he has done. I thank God for him allowing us to be here in this time where we're able to be a blessing to you. Now, check this out. Next week, oh, my goodness. Next week, if y'all have not seen the video of this crazy dude, his name is comedian Chris Williams. Comedian Chris Williams has a awesome testimony how God saved him. He was a part of Rockefeller Records. He was in the movie State Property. He's going to be with us, Lord willing, next Thursday on how God saved him, and now he is on fire for God. He gave it all up. If you know anything about Jay-Z and Rockefeller back in the late 90s, early 2000 era, please, don't tell me that the power of God cannot reach anyone that he wants to reach and turn their life around for the glory of God. So next Thursday, that's who we're going to have on our broadcast.
Is that the video that you showed us at church when we were laughing at the church? You talking about him?
Huh?
That was the guy from that video you showed us at church on Sunday?
Yeah, that's the one, man. That's the one. I mean, this is like a blessing. This dude, man, has been just a blessing to me just by me just meeting him over the weekend. So he's gonna be on the show Lowell next week. Don't want to say too much about it. But go to YouTube or type in rapper response to rap beef. Oh, my goodness. Hilarious. Hilarious. You're going to enjoy it. Tell other people about it. Again, if you'd like to support our ministry, you'd like to support what we're doing with your prayers, we definitely appreciate that. We need that. And we also appreciate your financial support as well. If you want to donate to our ministry, again, you can do so by going to www.hiswordhisway.org and click the donate button on the upper right hand corner of the screen. Definitely do that. We thank you in advance for those who have already done so, those who have been contributing to our ministry. We thank you nonetheless, and we just appreciate all what God is doing for tonight. Brother Fonzie, close us out in prayer, brother. We're 20 minutes early. Let's do this.
Amen. Father God, we thank you again, Lord, for this broadcast. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom that you've given us through one of your servants, Lord, Dr. Brown. Lord, we thank you that we could learn so much from his ministry, Lord. As we follow others, Lord, as they follow Christ, Lord, as Paul says in your word, Lord God, that anyone, Lord, that we can learn from and grow from, Lord God, not to follow a man per se, Lord, but to follow, you know, his leadership and how he presents you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us a remnant of people, Lord, who have such great impact in not only this country but across the world, Lord God. Lord, it is such a blessing to see, Lord, there are people out there like Dr. Brown and John MacArthur, Lord, that are making a big impact in the kingdom, Lord, and they're not dropping the ball, Lord. They're speaking out against what you say is sin, and they're speaking and preaching the true Jesus of the Bible, Lord God. And we thank you for men and women, Lord, Nancy Lee, the monster, Lord, that are doing work in the kingdom, Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
But we know that you use people big and small, Lord God, and not in the sense of anybody bigger than another, Lord, but just in the sense of impact and popularity, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you have ministers that are on TVs and on radios, Lord, that are preaching the word, Lord, because there's so many out there who are dropping the ball. There are so many people out there giving you a wrong gospel of Christ. There are so many people out there, Lord, with influence this world, Lord God, that are not preaching Christ. And we thank you for the remnant that you have out there, Lord. We pray, Lord, you continue to bless those ministries, continue to bless Dr. Brown's ministry, John MacArthur, Lord, and his church, Lord God, and all the evangelicals out there teaching your word.
We pray, Lord, you continue
to bless our church, Lord God. Though we may be small in numbers, Lord, many may not know who we are, Lord, we thank you that you're using us for whatever purpose you have us to do. Lord, we know we don't care about being saved. We don't care about being on the big screen, if you will, Lord. We just care about preaching your word, Lord. We pray that you will use us in every way you have us to go, Lord God. And we thank you that you've given us freedoms, Lord. We pray that as a church that we will not put our preferences above another person's, Lord, to make that a principle, Lord, and a precept. We pray, Lord God, that you will help us as a church be united in our differences, Lord, as well as we don't differ from the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us all different personalities from all walks of life, Lord, that encompass the whole body of Christ, that makes it so unique. And each one of us, Lord, brings something different to your table, but all for the same purpose of preaching Christ. Lord, just like the disciples had different personalities, Lord, you used them in a mighty way to preach one gospel. And Lord, we pray that you do the same for myself, for Pastor Woods, Brother Darrell, Brother Dennis. All of us, Lord God, are uniquely made. Lord, if you wanted us to be the same, you would make only one person, Lord, but you've made millions and billions of people in different ways, Lord God, not to be exactly the same, but to be different and unique, Lord, to preach the same truth. And I pray, Lord, that we do that with reverence, in love for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, bless the remainder of our night. Bless those who are on the call, Lord, and continue to watch over us as we, Lord willing, wake up tomorrow and glorify you again in our walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, that is our show for tonight. Please tune in for this Saturday. Ladies, if you have time on your hands and you would like to join us locally here in the Houston area, please go to www.hiswordhisway.org and look up the contact information if you desire to be a part of the Women's Bible Study here at our church. At 7 o'clock Saturday, Brother Darrell Kendrick will be live on the air. Check him out on Facebook. Pull up the information there at Minister Big Ken 65. You can pull him up on Facebook there as well. And also just check us out. We're live every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 Central Standard Time, again at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, noon Eastern, on the His Word, His Way broadcast. Have a blessed weekend. Have a safe weekend. And listen, whatever you do, do all to the glory and honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the His Word, His Way broadcast. Our ministry is supported by your prayers and financial gifts to help spread the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If this ministry has been an encouragement and blessing to your spiritual growth and edification, and you would like to support us, please go to www.hiswordhisway.org and click the donate button at the top portion of the screen. If you're in the Houston, Sugar Land, Texas area and would like to worship with us, or if you're looking for a church where the Word of God is the final authority, we'd love to have you here. Our address is 10619 Sugar Trace Drive, Sugar Land, Texas, 77498. Again, our address is 10619 Sugar Trace Drive, Sugar Land, Texas, 77498. Our worship service starts at 10 a.m. On behalf of Pastor Woods and the His Word, His Way family, thank you for listening and supporting our ministry with your prayers and financial support. And remember, the Word of God is the final authority. Make it yours. God bless you.